the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed this, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. The spirit of Cain runs through all of us. Yes, it runs through each and every one of us. It is a dangerous disposition to have, a dangerous way of thinking and living. Having the character traits of Cain actually leads to our damnation, the destruction of the gospel itself, and the condemnation of everyone around us, and even death itself. Even though the spirit of Cain is dangerous, the unfortunate reality is that it is way too common in the church and the lives of Christians. It is common, my friends, because it lives and it is a part of our DNA as sinners. It is also very seductive. It seduces. We can get seduced by the spirit of Cain and without even knowing it, be on the way down the path of destruction. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the Old Testament lesson from this morning that speaks to us about two brothers named Cain and Abel. Now Cain, he had the pedigree, the family business, the world's kind of glory. He actually belonged. He was a mover and he was a shaker, the big top event. Nothing less than the world's salvation was expected of Cain. And it looked like a distinct possibility. Abel, on the other hand, he didn't have much. He did not have much significance. He was an afterthought. He was a misfit. The father's fields went to Cain. However, Abel was sent to be with the sheep, and we all know how the Egyptians detested shepherds. But what of this dangerous spirit of Cain that I've already mentioned to us this morning? What is so dangerous about the spirit of Cain? In our Old Testament reading from Genesis, we hear that the church actually divides into two categories and two different dispositions. Early on, Genesis chapter 4, we can call this the spirit of Cain on the one hand and the spirit of Abel on the other. There are two different ways of approaching the Christian faith, two different ways of approaching life. Permit me to explain a bit more. Cain, he goes the way of self-righteousness. He goes the way of trying to earn God's approval through his own works, whereas Abel, on the other hand, goes the way of faith, knowing that he cannot make himself right before God and by his own works. And so it goes. Cain desired to be made right before God by his own works. However, when God accepts Abel instead, Cain becomes jealous. His hatred for Abel was probably due in part to his own hatred towards God for refusing to accept his own righteousness. And so, as we know, Cain murdered Abel. We not only hear about Cain and Abel in our Old Testament reading from this morning, but we also hear about them in our Gospel reading as well. They are not specifically addressed in our gospel reading, but the spirit of Cain and the spirit of Abel are present. Their dispositions are captured in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. In our gospel reading, we hear about two men who went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee, he stood by himself. He was polished and he had it all together. He was not a thief or a rogue. He was not an adulterer, but was righteous. Oh, he fasted daily. Oh, he was prim and proper, and he tithed generously. He was an upstanding citizen. He had it all together. He crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. His life was squeaky clean. It was so squeaky clean that he was confident to declare himself as righteous. In fact, he was so righteous that he felt like God owed him a thank you. Thank you very much, dear Pharisee, for your goodness. He was special, this Pharisee. He was so incredibly special that God indeed should have thanked him for all that he achieved. The other man was a filthy and dirty reject tax collector. The worst of the worst, a traitor to the Israelites. For he collaborated with the grubby Roman Empire by taking tax money from the Israelites and giving it to the enemy, that is Rome. And unlike the Pharisee, though, this wretched man, this tax collector, knew that he was nothing. He knew that he was nothing. And at that temple, he beat and pounded against his breast with his fist, and he held his head low, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The spirit of Cain and Abel most definitely come through, and they come forth in the actions and the lives and words of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Indeed, the disposition of Cain, it lives on in the Pharisee, and the disposition of Abel lives on in the tax collector. The Pharisee, he trusts himself, he declares himself righteous, and he snubs everyone around him. He is Cain. The tax collector, on the other hand, comes as a sinner, comes with empty hands and sin, not even able to lift his head. He is Abel. Dear friends, what distinguishes the spirit of Cain from the spirit of Abel is that Cain and the Pharisee trusted in themselves, whereas Abel and the tax collector did not. You see, Abel and the tax collector come before the Lord as a sinner. Cain and the Pharisee come before the Lord as self-righteous saints. Cain and the Pharisee come to give their best to God in order to be accepted. Abel and the tax collector, they come to receive righteousness by grace, through faith, by the blood of another. Abel and the tax collector's acceptance before God was not a matter of a name, their accomplishments, or their place in the world, or even their own assessment of how faithful they were, and especially not a matter of their works or accomplishments. The tax collector and Abel, they were accepted before God by the blood of another, blood that was shed for them for the remission of their sins and the sins of the world. So, with all of that said, I ask you today, who are you? Yes, who are you? Who are you? Are you Cain or are you Abel? Are you the Pharisee or are you the tax collector? That is the question that remains before us as we contemplate our Old Testament reading and our gospel reading from today. Who are we? Who are you? If you trust in yourself, my friends, and are constantly taking inventory of your accomplishments, if you see yourself better than those around you and you think that God is lucky to have you in his church, if you pat your back, yes, if you pat yourself on the back for every good work that you do, thinking that you've earned a brownie point before God, well, you are Cain. You are the Pharisee. You have deceived yourself and are trapped in an awful delusion. Therefore, repent, my friends. Repent of this. Repent of this indeed. You cannot buy your way into the kingdom of God, especially since the only thing that you can offer to the Lord is a treasure chest full of sinful thoughts, sinful words, and sinful deeds. Dear friends, it is easy to go the way of Cain. It is easy to be seduced into this way of thinking. It is easy to develop a sense of security by what we do, for we can convince ourselves that if we do enough good, that God will somehow owe us. However, instead of exchanging our good works for eternal security, what typically happens is this: our halos get too tight, and then we develop a sense of arrogance, thinking that we're better than everybody else. And once this arrogance sets in, we begin to deceive ourselves by trusting in ourselves and distancing ourselves from the gospel which is for sinners only. The tax collector and Abel, they knew and they know a different way, though. Not one that looks for justification by being smart enough or good enough or pious enough, but rather a righteousness that comes from God himself. Consider the tax collector's prayer for a moment. He prays while beating his chest, and he says, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." You see, my friends, the tax collector and Abel knew that they were nothing before the Lord Almighty. And so it is necessary for you and me to lay hold of our nothingness before God Almighty this morning. This is the reality that we are faced with this morning. We cannot justify ourselves. We cannot barter with God. We cannot do anything to acquire eternal life. Therefore, we must come face to face with the deepest reality that we are powerless and helpless before the Lord Almighty. We are beggars. I repeat, we are beggars at the doors of God's mercy. Being a poor beggar, though, might frighten us. It might frighten us, for this lack of control and this vulnerability expose us for who we are, and that is sinners. However, knowing that we are able, that we are the tax collector in the story, is not the end of ourselves, but it is actually the essence of what it means to be alive. Dear baptized saints, to be alive in the Christian faith is to be aware of our sin, to be aware of our helplessness, to be aware of our brokenness, and to know that we are poor, miserable sinners in thought, word, and deed is to stand in need of the Lord's grace for us. Only when we recognize the malady of our sin are we then able to see and receive and rejoice in the Savior who comes to save and forgive sinners such as yourself and me. Being honest about our powerlessness and our sin keeps us in touch with our neediness and the truth that we are forgiven sinners. There is indeed a beautiful transparency to honest disciples who never wear a false face and do not pretend to be anything but who they are. You see, getting honest with ourselves does not lead to despair and hopelessness, but it actually shows us our need for our righteousness outside of ourselves. What this means is that to be alive is to know our sinful condition, and to know our sinful condition is to stand in need of God's grace. And as we stand in need of God's grace, the Lord does not hold back, but he pours grace upon grace upon grace upon us. It is only through grace that any of us can rest in the fact that we are justified, righteous by another person's sacrifice for us. There's no doubt about it. In our gospel text we hear from today, that God is merciful to the tax collector. He is merciful to Abel, and he is merciful to you and me as well. Yes, the Lord, he justifies the ungodly. He declares sinners forgiven. He forgives sinners with tilted halos and bent halos, sinners such as yourself and me. You who lie in the dust of your sin, you who have tilted halos, you who beat your breast in sinful remorse, you who cannot lift up your head because of the weight of sin, yes, you are forgiven. You are justified. You are righteous for Christ's sake. You are righteous for Christ's sake, for the Lord declares this to you from his word. You dear blessed baptized saints are the church. Get this, you are the church of Abel. You are the church of the tax collector. For we are all together poor, miserable sinners that gather here this day to receive the Lord's declaration that we are forgiven for Christ's sake. We are here this day to receive the body and the blood of our Lord that saves only the sinners, that speaks of the one who justifies sinners and embraces sinners as his beloved saints of eternity. We come before the Lord with Abel, and we come to the Lord with the tax collector. But we all, I repeat, all of us leave this church service and go home justified. For Jesus is our righteousness, he is our life, and our hope. We are justified and righteous in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.